Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today, coming to you from Carson City. Paul Enos, the CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association, plus on the Power Pundit panel, Elisa Cafferata with Planned Parenthood, and Fred Locken from TMCC. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome back to the program Paul Enos. He is the CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association, which is one of our proud sponsors. Pleasure to have you back on the program.
Sammy, always good to see you, my friend.
We sit here.
Even if we are in Carson City.
We are in Carson City. We're in the old Supreme Court in the Capitol. I want to ask you about an article I was reading over the weekend.
I hope it wasn't in the New York Times. You're not going to kill me with these New York Times articles again, are you?
It was a magazine article, and it was talking about how truckers it's going to be hard to replace them, not because of the automatic driving of trucks, which obviously autonomous vehicles, and it seems trucks are moving more rapidly in that direction, if you'll pardon the pun, than the regular passenger cars. But there's still going to be a need for people to be able to load, unload the trucks, that they're not going to be.
Well, I don't see in the near or even far future where a driver is superfluous. You're always going to need a driver. When you have shippers that are moving tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars of freight in the back of those trailers, you want somebody there to make sure that that freight gets there safely and securely. I liken it to an airline pilot. Would you get on an airplane if you knew the plane was flying itself and it was fine, but there wasn't a pilot up there? Of course not. So really, I think the same is going to be said of the truck driver. The job will change, and I think it will actually make a truck driver's life better and easier. It's going to take your mediocre drivers and put them on par with some of the best drivers that we have in our industry. And it's going to be fun. Next month here in Carson City, we're going to be announcing our driver of the year. And typically these are people who have numbers of years, millions of miles of driving without an accident, without a citation. So the technology, I think, is really capable of bringing those drivers that aren't as fantastic as the folks that we recognize and who compete in our truck driver championships and who really are the backbone of this industry in terms of making sure that that freight gets there safely. It's going to take those drivers who aren't there and bring them up to that level. It's going to make that truck driver's life easier. And hopefully, we're going to be able to get some relief from some of these onerous regulations on hours of service, on when breaks are taken. I'm hoping that it helps with things like detention time and truck parking, and that with this autonomous technology, we are able to get a little more leeway in terms of regulations from the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, from NHTSA, in being able to take breaks when they want to or when they need to, and not have it so prescriptive as it is today.
All right, but and obviously with the Trump administration reversing a lot of regulations already, certainly environmentally, do you think that that's likely to happen? Is that what you're hearing from the American Trucking Association?
Well, the American Trucking Association, actually today, Sammy, they are in. They're at the White House. We have the Trucking Moves America Forward truck parked right in front of the White House today. We have a number of executives from the trucking industry who are members of the American Trucking Association meeting with the president today, talking about things like investing in infrastructure, but also talking about some of these regulations that are costly, that may be superfluous. And sure, a lot of them are done in the name of safety, but when you really look at what the cumulative impact of regulations are in terms of labor regulation, in terms of environmental regulations, in terms of safety regulations, they can really have a huge impact, especially on these smaller carriers. And the reality is, in the trucking industry, although we have great, phenomenal companies that are some of the biggest in the world, like UPS and FedEx, there's not one company in the trucking industry that has more than 1% of the market share. So this is still an industry populated by these small and medium-sized carriers that are moving 70% of our nation's freight and 92% of Nevada's.
Okay, so let me ask you this, and certainly for Nevada, as we continue to see distribution become a greater and greater part of the economy, where are you going to get the drivers? Because that's been your biggest problem for years now.
It has been. We are a grain industry. My hope is that with technology, with being able to design some routes, we are going to be able to improve a driver's life. So they're not gone from home as much, where they can still have a life. And that's what I love about some of the things that are happening in Nevada in terms of developing a manufacturing base here, having a distribution base. If you're going from Reno, Sparks, Story County into California, into the port of Oakland, you can still make it home in time to help your kid with their homework, to coach their soccer game or soccer team. So you can still have, a life like, a normal person does. And I'm not saying truckers aren't normal people. Of course they are. But you can have more of a normal life than, you typically think of for a long-haul truck driver.
As far as the president and looking at infrastructure, he's talked about $1 trillion in infrastructure. Are you excited about that? Are you concerned that that money could end up being used in ways that don't benefit the infrastructure?
Well, I think that's always the case whenever we talk about government programs, because, government programs are they can become beasts. Over the course of our history, there have been some fantastic infrastructure projects that have really benefited our economy in some very substantial ways. And of course, you point to Dwight Eisenhower and the establishment of the interstate highway system in 1956, which really got America off the rail, which wasn't necessarily great in terms of making sure that your freight was delivered on time, where you had very few companies being able to control the price, and really democratize it in a sense with trucks. And we saw over the course of years since the interstate highway system, trains were 50% of the freight. Now they're 11-12%, and those are mostly That's mostly freight that is very heavy and not time sensitive. It's your coal, it's your wheat, it's your oil. It's not potato chips or, definitely not a load of live pigs or cows, because they might not be alive by the time they get there.
All right, let's take a break. More with Paul Enos when we come back.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
You Your business workers' comp company should be your partner. The Pro Group customer care team brings you effective risk management training, support, and web tools at no extra cost to you. We maximize the safety of your employees and business every day. Pro Group is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with information and resources at your fingertips. We ensure your employee safety and that your premium's in line. When you're a Pro Group member, you have the team that's looking out for you. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Call for a no-obligation quote today.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Paul Enos. He's the CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. So give me a sense of this legislative session. People are telling me that this is a strange session, but I think I've heard that in about every session that I've ever attended.
Yeah, they're all a little strange. And in that sense, they're all similar. A lot of the issues are the same. They're being revisited. Personalities are a little different. Of course, it's different when you're dealing with a large number of freshmen, which we do have, you know, in terms of working through the process. I am very happy to say our leadership on both sides has been very accessible and open and wanting to work with business, even when we see some bills that we don't necessarily agree with or like. Oh, I mean, Sam, there's a myriad of them. There's all these things that businesses do, you know, in terms of, you know, things like paid sick leave, in terms of, you know, what we pay our employees, you know, paying them over minimum wage, providing a room for breastfeeding mothers to feed their children. These are things that a lot of businesses do, and they feel good about doing them. They don't necessarily feel as good about doing them when it's government mandated. So that is a little bit of a challenge, and you know, those are discussions that are ongoing that we're going to be working through and talking with the leadership in both the Senate and the Assembly about. And, you know, hopefully we can achieve some kind of a middle ground.
Do you think that the ESAs are going to make it in the current form in terms of the amount of money that the governor's put in? Or do you think it's going to end up being more money as Treasurer Schwartz wants? And is this the hill to die for at the end of the session?
I don't know. I mean, honestly, Sam, I know enough. This is now my 20th year working in the legislature. One thing I do know is things that you think are certain are never really certain. So I hate to kind of equivocate there. I think there's definitely some policy considerations to talk about with ESAs. You know, we hear the idea of, you know, a possible means test for ESAs to make sure that those are going to families that can't afford to send their kids to private school or parochial school and be able to open some of those options to them. I know there's some in the Republican Party that disagree with that want that open to everybody. So I think those are debates that are still ongoing and we'll see. I don't know if this is the governor's hill to die for. I do know there are a number of legislators, you know, across the mall here to our south, who that is their hill to die for. That's something that they want to see. But on the other side, there's people that absolutely don't want to see any form of ESAs moving forward. So it's something that is still in the process and fluid, and we'll see where it goes.
Briefly, the marijuana tax
briefly
seems to be the biggest tax that's on the table right now. Do you see another that's coming along, or do you think that the governor does not want to go out in his final session as being a governor who raised major taxes two sessions in a row?
I think there's a lot of tax fatigue this legislative session. There is some talk from some of the local governments about taxing diesel. We're in negotiations with them on that. You know, in terms of marijuana, the public policy around marijuana, the tax is one thing. The other thing is, how do we determine impairment? You know, how do we determine?
I think that's coming along very well.
Sam, I mean, you think so? Honestly, I'm not too sure that it is.
Well, the blood,
because there's
the blood
still,
test makes a lot more sense.
Well, yeah, yes and no. I mean, Sam, if you're a business and you have somebody that's injured at work, to take them in and have them pee in a cup, that's a lot easier. It takes a lot less time. And
but it's not as accurate.
Well, it is and it isn't in terms of time. So we're talking about, you know, having to have a nurse or a doctor draw blood as opposed to somebody peeing in a cup. And after a certain period of time, that dissipates. So there is definitely a timeliness issue in when you take these tests. So, no, there still are some issues surrounding drug testing with marijuana and its metabolite.
And that's where we got to leave it. Thank you for being here, as always.
Thanks, Sammy.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Nevada Newsmakers coverage of the 2017 legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, the Nevada Trucking Association, the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel as always. Elisa Cafferati is here, lobbyist with Planned Parenthood, and Fred Locken, political science professor at Truckee Meadows Community College. Let us just continue the conversation. We're taping this the morning after Devin Nunes went up to the White House to talk about the... I didn't know how to describe it. The potential taping of the president and other members of the transition team.
Yeah, so far, I mean, frankly, first the fact that as chair of the Intelligence Committee, he even has done this. He has broken all kinds of protocol. This seemingly, for someone who worked as part of the transition team, this so reeks of partisanship. But beyond that, no one seems to be really talking about the implications of collateral conversations up to even the president himself under a FISA warrant. I mean, to me, they should be parking everything in news and talking about this. This is an extremely serious event, not only in the way that it was mishandled, but also what the implications of that are.
Right. I was saying, you know, this is essentially this is a conversation about, you know, were acts of treason committed, and we're in, you know, month two of the president's administration, and there have been calls for, hey, maybe let's see if there is something to this investigation before we move forward on a Supreme Court nominee. And so I do think there's so much going on, it's hard for folks to focus on, but this is a serious allegation and investigation, and it's casting a pall on everything.
And at the same time, the Republicans are trying to pass this reform of health care, and it seems like they're having a real hard time getting anybody to say yes.
Well, they are. This, in fact, will be potentially a very historic day for this administration, regardless of how it cuts, because if it fails, I was telling my wife this morning, you don't take it to a vote if you don't think you have the votes. But they made the biggest political blunder by a couple of weeks ago, saying this is when we're going to have this vote. Anything they would do now to delay it would clearly indicate failure. So the quality of the politics in Washington has really taken a hit since January 20th. And I don't know that it was at that high a bar when we got to January 20th.
And there is so much else on the table at this point in time, the tax cuts, the Supreme Court nomination, although Judge Gorsuch seems to be doing very well in the questioning. He has a great ease in front of the cameras and a camaraderie. But of course, like every other nominee is not actually answering any questions because they can't.
They can't, and that's kind of standard, but you can look at the record, and Judge Gorsuch has been very heavily in favor of finding that the law, in fact, favors corporations over individuals. Certainly his record on women's health is not one that really holds up to his promise that, you know, it's settled law, which is even what Justice Roberts said when he went through this process. It's settled law that he's perfectly happy, it looks like, in his other rulings to revisit. And so established precedent of 40 years is not something that he is going to hold as worth repeating. It's at least that's what his record says. So
but now,
those are our concerns.
And you know, understandably, but it appears to me that there is no reason at all why Mitch McConnell would not use the nuclear option to get this nominee passed.
Well, I totally agree, because I think that especially given the way Obama was treated in terms of his nominee, that was so off the rails, we won't even discuss. But clearly the Democrats would like to reap any kind of revenge they can, and McConnell has to know that.
I want to change topics here to the ERA, that passed through the legislature. When we had Senator Spearman on a week or so ago, she was talking about how there were lots of other things that could be tagged onto this in terms of going to the courts, equal pay, equal rights, et cetera, because of passing the ERA. But we did some research and we could not find anything that would back that up. Is it really not a case of initially symbolism, but potentially if you can get two more states, then it could be revisited?
Yes, I think the idea is that there is sort of the math of getting enough states to ratify. And I do think it is an important indication of legislative intent here, but it would take two more states. And then I think you do have sort of grounds to change the constitutional level of protection and scrutiny in court cases.
I think it would take seven more states.
Okay, but hang on a second. Do you agree that this does not affect the judiciary in Nevada in terms of?
I mean, I think you will see people using it as an indication of the intent of the state, but I'm not an attorney, so I won't opine about that piece.
Okay, and Fred, you're not an attorney either, but you think it would take seven more states?
Well, five have rescinded their original action since the 1970s, and the Supreme Court, as late as 1982, in ruling on this, because there's normally a 7-year, they set these with a 7-year. They extended it in 1982, and the court acknowledged that it would be a political issue, that a sitting Congress could decide that it wants to extend the deadline further. But five states have rescinded, and given the makeup of this particular House and Senate, ain't going to happen.
I don't see it having great reception in this current Congress. And at the same time, you know, the deadlines, it's like, really, there's a deadline. You have to claim your rights in a certain amount of time. Either you have the right or you don't have the right.
So bottom
period,
line,
end of sentence.
Bottom line, symbolism.
But important symbolism, like, really, you're going to say, to me, I was astonished by the number of legislators who said this is a empty symbolic act that has no impact in the real world, and we're willing to vote to say we don't believe women are equal. That's the symbol, and that's the message we're sending.
And that's where we have to leave it. Thank you both very much. We appreciate you being here. We'll be right back.
Sully's Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun. St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Among the guests coming up next week, Chief of Staff to Governor Sandoval, Mike Wilden. We'll see you then.